Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and the time is now 4:02 p.m. on the East Coast and 1:02 p.m., or should I say 4:03, on the West Coast. Welcome to a special edition of the TNGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. And this is a special day for us because this is the TNGS one-year anniversary as an independent show, and I am so happy to reach this milestone. Some people didn't think we'd get there, including me, but we did. We managed to get to this, and today we're going to have a few topics here and there, but what we really like to do is, and what we've been trying to do is get a lot of our guests that have been on the show this past year are going to chime in and say hello and let us know what they're up to right now and just share more information. So we're just going to have a fun show today, and I'm looking forward to it. People are going to be popping in, you know, from time to time throughout the show. So bear with us and enjoy. Again, today is Saturday. It's the holiday weekend. Oh, by the way, it is September the 4th, 2021, and it's the holiday weekend. I'm sure a lot of folks are getting ready to fire up the grill and all that good stuff, you know, do the little barbecue thing, you know. So I think I asked this before, and I just want to know, what do you prefer to do? Do you prefer to grill on Saturday, like today, or do you wait for the holiday Monday and do it? I know some people who do it on Saturday, and I go do it on Sunday, and then some wait until Monday to do it. But some people try to get it out the way so they can have Monday to rest up for the work week. So what do you prefer to do, or what do you do on these type of holidays? So make sure that you chime in for you people that are listening on the TMGS through Blog Talk Radio. Well, all you got to do is just sign up for the chat room, put your questions and comments, post them there in the chat room, and I will see it here on the board and can read your questions or comments online. So anyway, now, like I said, there are some topics we're going to jump into, and Janet brought up one that now that I see it, I forgot about this. I heard about it just a couple of days ago, but it didn't hit me right away. But I managed to pull it up, and it's about, let me scroll back here because I think I lost it for a moment here. Okay, here it is. Oh, let's see. Elijah McClain's death. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but Captain says Mr. McClain died days after he was detained by the police in August of 2019. Okay, so this, I guess the story is what I'm looking at. They updated just a couple of days ago. His death has come to occupy a central place in Colorado's fast-moving debate over police reform. So, story goes, and this is when they updated, right, September the 1st. As outrage over police brutality erupted across the country in the wake of George Floyd's death, a wave of fresh attention and scrutiny has applied to older cases in which people died after encounters with the police. One such case was Elijah McClain, a 23-year-old black man who died in 2019 after the police in Aurora, Colorado, restrained him with a chokehold that has since been banned. 2 years after his death, a Colorado grand jury indicted three police officers and two paramedics on charges including manslaughter and criminally negligent homicide. Mr. McClain was walking home from a convenience store on August 24, 2019, when someone called 911 saying he looked sketchy. Oh, boy. Here we go again. And was wearing a ski mask and waving his arms. The police arrived, and after struggling to handcuff Mr. McClain, officers brought him to the ground and used a, what is this, Carotid hold? Is that how you pronounce it? I think it's, yeah, Carotid hold, which restricts blood to the brain to render someone unconscious. When medical responders arrived after about 15 minutes, paramedics injected him with ketamine, I believe that's how you say it, a powerful sedative. Going down. Mr. McClain went into cardiac arrest on the way to a hospital. He died a few days later. Who was Elijah McClain? Well, we'll get to that in a moment. I'm going to go through that, but I want to just go ahead and open up some of these mics. And right now, I'm going to open up the mic to, let's see, who's got their hand up? Oh, Officer Crenshaw's in the house. What's up, Officer Crenshaw? Happy Saturday to you, my brother.
Hey, what's going on, Mike? Happy Saturday. How's everybody?
All right. And happy anniversary for a year. I mean, for the show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought you was telling between the sheets type stuff there. Happy anniversary.
That's why I had to clear that up. Definitely. Let me open up one more mic. And this is a brother, I believe. This is, okay. I think the D-man decided to stop by, and I'm glad he did. What's up, Bernie?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? How's everybody doing?
All right.
Smooth criminal going on.
What's happening? Yeah, was on a staycation this week. I really wish it was like that, but I was been so busy around this house, man. I don't think this house been as clean as when I moved into it.
I know that's right. All right. Let me just let folks know, if you're on the board and when you get ready to chime in, make sure you hit the number one so we can open up your microphone. So I guess you caught what I was reading on this story. Let me see here. On Elijah McClain. So I want to go ahead and read a little bit more if you didn't catch the first part of it, but I'm going to go ahead. It says, who was Elijah McClain? Mr. McClain was a massage therapist who is said to have loved animals and who taught himself to play the guitar and the violin. And by the way, they do show a photo of him with both instruments, according to the cut. A photograph of Mr. McClain playing the violin for Stray Cats, he believed the music helped soothe him, has gone viral. A GoFundMe page created by believe that Sheenan McClain, Mr. McClain's mother, raised more than $2 million and more than 5 million people signed an online petition demanding that the officers involved be taken off duty and that there be an in-depth investigation of the encounter. So let me go back to this first part where it says someone called 911 and said, quote, looked sketchy. Now, I was just talking to Janet the other night about these First Amendment auditors, and, you know, we spoke about this before on the show a couple of times. And I was going through some videos, and there was a situation where this black police chief now was driving down the road, and somebody called the police on him, gave a description, and the police chief was going to the barbershop. And this person who called the police on him followed him all the way to the barbershop, exchanged words, said some, you know, nasty words to him, but then he left. He didn't stay there till the police came. And the police come, they ask him for his ID, and he tells them, oh, well, I'm a police chief, which he's the chief of, like, the next town over. They said, that don't matter. They told him that don't matter. Doesn't that sound kind of crazy? And how can you charge somebody and the witness takes off? The officers didn't witness anything. They said he was reckless driving. But he's a police chief, has his weapon. He's in plain clothes, and the police vehicle had the little spotlight there on the side and showed his badge. And he's very upset. But see, that's what I'm saying is about that looks sketchy, or either what's the other term that is used, suspicious.
Well, let me start by saying, like,
go ahead.
First of all, if the other person wasn't there,
mm-hmm.
the whole situation should have been null and void.
Right.
Okay. Now they can ask. They can ask him, well, were you involved in this altercation? What happened? Da 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 da. And if he says, well, I'm the police chief, they're right. That don't matter. You can say, I'm the senator, I'm the congressman, I'm the president. I give now damn. Okay, I'm here for a reason. But if the other person done hauled ass, then it's
mm-hmm.
a de-escalation situation. You politely talk to him like you would if the other person was there, you know. Okay, well, we're aware of the situation. This is what happened, blah, 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 blah. You know, the other person left, so there's nobody pressing charges, you know.
Right.
Have a great day.
Well, that's interesting because now
people are always throwing out the name card to police. Do you know who I am? Do you know who my
mm-hmm.
father-in-law is? You know,
true.
I give now damn. You know, I'm not here
mm-hmm.
for them. I'm here for you. You know, your position and your title really doesn't matter. Let me investigate and then decide what we can do. If we can work something out, we'll work something out. If we can't work something out, I got a job to do. But
mm-hmm.
for them to be completely rude and unprofessional and show no professional courtesy at all.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he should have been.
But now let me throw something else at you. And I don't want to stray too far from the story, but now here's another video I've been looking at, and a police officer is following this SUV, and they're crossing the center line and everything, and he pulls them over. Guess who's in the SUV? Two officers, one female, one male, and the female's driving. Now, the officer's dash cam is on, and they let him know that that's what they are, and he's like, oh, really? Oh, okay. And so then, you know, he checks and everything, and then his backup comes, and they're saying, look, we just live three blocks up. So they're trying to get out of this. You hear it. They're trying to get out of it. And the officer's like, yeah. You guys got your weapons on you? They go, yeah. So he asked the lady for her weapon. He said, let me move this. And, you know, so he takes it out. And then he doesn't get the guy's weapon. The backup officer comes. He tells the backup officer that the other guy has a weapon too. But they didn't immediately try to, you know, take his immediately. This guy on the passenger side, he's like, look, you don't have to do all this. We can go right. We're just three blocks up. This officer clearly says on tape, well, you know, you put me in a situation here. What situation? Because then he says, because, you know, it's on tape now. So I guess.
Right.
Now, you tell me if I'm wrong. I guess if that dash cam wasn't running, he probably would have let him go. Let me open up Janet's mic because she's waving. Let me open up her mic real quick because she's waving. There we go. Janet Davis, how you doing? The mother of the Lord.
Happy anniversary to everyone. But, Michael, I had to hang up and call back in.
What happened? Blog Talk
Network? I don't know what happened. I wanted to respond on the conversation when you were reading about Elijah McClain. And I couldn't even say anything. Yeah, I don't know what was wrong. But anyway, how's everybody? Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, because you were talking about McClain, the paramedics gave him a dosage of the medicine that was for a person that was 190 pounds, and he was only 140. And so that's why they were also indicated and I guess indicted or charged because of them giving him such a strong dosage of this medicine, which they really didn't need to do.
Right. So that could be looked at as an overdose?
Yes.
Possibly?
Yes.
Okay, let me go back to what it says, though. It says, how did he die? Well, the answer is, it is unclear what exactly caused Mr. McClain to go into cardiac arrest. An autopsy report by the Adams County Coroner said that the cause of death was, quote, undetermined, and that it could have been a result of natural causes, a homicide related to the Carlyle hold or an accident. Okay, keep in mind, this is a 20-something-year-old man, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Natural causes. But while he was detained, Mr. McClain was clearly in distress. After officers restrained him on the ground, he vomited several times, for which he apologized, saying, I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to do that. I can't breathe correctly. An officer said in the body camera footage that officers had put him out with a car toy hold twice, at least once successfully, end quote, meaning Mr. McClain had lost consciousness. It goes on to say, when paramedics arrived, they gave him what was described as a therapeutic dose of ketamine. Body camera footage shows that it made his body go limp when he was loaded onto a gurney. The autopsy report said a combination of factors could have killed Mr. McClain. Mr. McClain was, quote, violently struggling with officers who were attempting to restrain him. The report read, most likely the descendant's physical exertion contributed to death. It is unclear if the officer's actions contributed as well. In the report, it was also noted that Mr. McClain had chronic asthma. In response to the autopsy report, Mary Newman, the lawyer representing Mr. McClain's family, told Denver 7ABC whatever the report says, it's clear that if the police had not attacked attacked Elijah McClain, he would be alive today. They immediately went hands-on and tackled him, she said. And, of course, the fact that all three of their body cameras fell off is something that we should all be pretty suspicious about. It makes it awfully easy for them to say whatever they want. But what we know is that they attacked him for no reason whatsoever. It was excessive force, and it led to death. Now, that's all three cameras.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know about that part.
I didn't know about that.
And that drug ketamine is for depression, but it renders you unconscious. They said that drug normally they'll give it to you before they put you under for like surgery or whatever, you know. But they also said that that's why, you know, they said that they gave him enough for a person that was 190 pounds. I have asthma. When you're stressed, it can bring on an asthma attack. And then if he says he can't breathe and they're sitting there putting him in a hold like they did George Floyd, you know. So like they caused it.
Yeah, that's very possible. I mean, it's just so suspicious. What do you guys think of Bernie or Officer Crenshaw? I mean, I read the whole thing. Isn't that kind of odd that they will give him a medicine that is not for a person of his size, and especially that all three body cameras fell off?
That's what I was looking. That's what I, when you said all three body cameras showed that it was excessive force, that should have been enough for an indictment right there. But once they gave him more than enough to whatever the paramedics were giving him, maybe to calm him down or whatever, and they did it for a person that weighed 50 pounds more than him, that's a deadly dose. That's deadly. Mm-hmm. They put you under for things like colonoscopies and things like that. They strictly go by your weight, and paramedics should know that. And they should know this man only weighed 140 pounds, you know. So, yeah, they were negligent too, very much so, I would say. Everybody around was negligent. Like,
amen.
Life didn't even matter, you know.
But here's the thing that gets me. This is another Karen Ken thing. The call itself. The call itself. He looks sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and I wish that one of the body cameras would show the whole thing. They picked up the audio, but I guess evidently it doesn't show much of the video. You know, now you want to talk about sketchy. That's kind of sketchy, you know, for that to happen. You know, for all three. I just can't buy that.
Well.
I mean, seriously. I mean, Officer Crenshaw, well, I mean, you know, I have to, you know, that's kind of crazy. Well, if it's one guy and there's three officers.
I'm going to say this. The police department spend the least amount of money on equipment like that. So when the equipment when they first came out with the body cams, they was experimenting with the ones that wouldn't fall off, that wouldn't break, that wouldn't shut off in the middle of recording during a fight. So I don't know which one these guys had. But for all three of them to fall off at one time, because I've been rolling in the dirt fighting with somebody. You know, luckily, I got out of there before the cameras and all of that stuff. But not everybody, not all three of them are rolling around in the damn dirt with one person.
Right.
One of them, at least one of them, is hopping from side to side trying to find an opening to grab an arm to put a handcuff on. So his camera shouldn't have fell off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the dose of medication, by them being paramedics, if this person is telling them, I can't breathe, they shouldn't have never gave him that medication at all.
That's right.
Still being violent or not. Because what you do is you get him strapped down to where the only thing he can move is his penis and his balls down if he wanted to, and he ain't going nowhere. He can't hurt nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, here's the interesting part, and I want to just go on to read just a little bit more here. This is a long article, so I'm breaking it up a little bit as we go along. It says, an independent panel investigating Mr. McClain's death issued a highly critical report on February 22nd of 2021, faulting officers for stopping him without justification and for escalating their use, including the two applications on hold. The report's authors also said fire department paramedics slowly helped Mr. McClain before injecting him with enough ketamine to sedate a person weighing 190 pounds. Mr. McClain weighed about 140 pounds. So what would you say the average police officer's weight might be?
The average police officer's weight?
Well, yeah, I would say just about the average – about the average police officer's weight, or is there such a thing?
There
I don't think there's many of them. Okay.
You have male officers, you have your male, you got small, you got big, you got overweight.
Right.
You know, so there
but now,
is
a, imagine, now, but now imagine if all three of those officers weighed 140 pounds each, right? That's 400 and what? 400 some pounds. And he's 140.
Right.
That's what, 420 pounds?
Mm-hmm. But they're not
that's 420
on top of
pounds.
And, see, well, the weight, huh? Weight has nothing to do with the struggle. The weight has nothing to do with the struggle. Because if you're trying to fight or restrain a squirrely person, you're not going to be able to hold on to them. For one, it's not like you're in a boxing ring. Okay? You're trying to restrain that person, grab them, take control over them. You're not punching, 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 punching. They might be punching, 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 but 99% of the time, most of the people trying to that are resisting arrest are not trying to punch the officers. They're trying to get away from the officer. So they're slinging
right.
their arms and moving around and so they can break free and run.
Mm-hmm.
But for somebody to display a
more strength too, because of they're afraid, correct?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They get stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And that was another thing. By them not knowing anything about his medical history, you don't just inject him with anything.
That's what I was saying. Mm-hmm.
Right, but this Elijah was there apologizing for even throwing up, and he said, "I just look straight different. I'm not, he's apologizing." So I can't imagine somebody struggling and fighting the police and apologizing at the same time.
Well, it happens, Janet. I've had people apologize to me, but if he was at that point to where he was apologizing. He was no longer resisting, so the EMT shouldn't have had to inject him with anything.
So let me go forward just a little bit more because, like I said, this is a long article. Let me just go forward a little bit more because this is a long article, so I want to go ahead and wrap it up to the last part and so we get a better understanding. One officer approached Mr. McClain, who was listening to music, and told him to stop walking. McClain stopped after several commands, but said he had a right to continue toward home. According to the camera footage, the officer responded saying he had a right to stop Mr. McClain for looking suspicious and grabbing by the arms. As another officer approached Mr. McClain, can be heard saying, "I am an introvert. Please respect the boundaries that I am speaking. Leave me alone." So Mr. McClain had not committed a crime. Officers immediately restrained him, telling him to stop resisting when he put his arms up to his chest and to stop tensing up. The footage shows Mr. McClain pleading with the officers to let go of him and trying to get out of their grip. The officers eventually brought him to the ground, okay, claiming he had reached for one of their guns. Oh, here we go. While they were pinning him against a wall to handcuff him. The body camera footage does not show this, officers said, because their cameras had fallen off into the grass. At one point, an officer tells Mr. McClain that he would use his dog on him if he did not stop messing around. That was a quote. More officers arrived after Mr. McClain was restrained. While talking with one another, officers said that Mr. McClain was acting crazy, that he was definitely on something. Here we go again. And that he had attacked officers when they tried to restrain him. They also said that he had incredible, crazy strength. Somebody just said that. Mm. And that at one point, three officers were on top of him. The autopsy report notes that Mr. McClain was 5'6" and weighed 140 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, I know, Officer Crenshaw. I mean, you've experienced where, yeah, there have been some folks who, you know, might have that adrenaline flowing, you know, during a struggle and any other. But acting crazy
but
and
I,
definitely on
probable cause.
I can believe that. I can believe that. But what I can't believe is that all three of those body cameras fell off at the same time. That's what
right.
I can't believe. Or even at individual times, they all just bump. And then there was no body cam, no footage for the rest of the call. That's the suspicious part. All the other stuff is believable. I could actually believe that he, you know, like I said, you know, people get like, you know, leave me alone. The strength could be, you'd be like, man, this dude is strong to be so little. But I don't even really believe that. But that's possible. I do believe that. But the three body cameras not functioning at the same time, that's no. That's what made
okay, but here's
even
the thing that gets me, though. But here's the thing that gets me. If there's a question about the cause of death, they did an autopsy. So what did the toxicology report show? If they said he seemed like he was on something, I didn't hear anything about, well, there was something in his system. Did you hear
anything?
That?
No.
So
no.
This is a 140-pound guy. They didn't find or they haven't reported anything in the system because I'm pretty sure if there was, it would have been in the story. Am I right?
Oh, yeah, they
it would have been. It would have been at the lead of the story.
That's right. Because
you know they always. I mean, you know the media will always, you know, let show the negatives about the victim. Right.
Yeah.
They're gonna report the negatives.
You don't have to get strength from anywhere by being on just drugs. When you're scared,
mm-hmm.
your adrenaline kicks and you get strong.
I agree with that. Yeah.
You know, so there was no drugs in his system, you know, they can't say a lot of what they were saying. It's going to get, they're going to make themselves look stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just attacked them. You know, what was the probable cause for them stopping him? Because the law changed.
That,
5-8 years before I retired, to where you couldn't just stop somebody off of a hunch. You actually, like somebody walking down the street, you actually had to have documentation, a 911 call coming from your dispatcher to you saying that there's someone walking down the street that they say looks suspicious, and he's doing certain things, acting a certain way, waving a gun in the air, but walking down the street looking suspicious. Hell, half these kids with their pants hanging down look damn suspicious now.
I feel like they stopped him because he had a ski mask on, you know. But
when
you're going to rob somebody, you're not going to be walking out there with the ski mask on. You put it on before you commit a crime, but just to walking down the street with a ski mask on,
well,
that don't sound
that.
Now, the time of this accident was at 10:30 at night, according to the story. I forgot to mention it.
And where at?
Let me back up. Where was it, Janet?
The state was Colorado.
It was in Aurora, Colorado. But, you know,
okay, well,
Aurora's got its share of craziness. Excuse me?
I was stationed in Colorado. Depending on the year, depending on the month, you know, you're going to wear a ski mask down the street because it gets cold as fuck.
That's right. In Colorado.
This was August. Well, this was August the 24th of 2019.
Okay, so, yeah, he would have on a ski mask that time of night, because that's what's going to keep your ears and your face warm at night.
Mm-hmm. And it probably was cool outside. Probably was cool.
And that's why he said he was different. You know, he said
right.
He was an introvert. He was different.
Introvert, yep. Hey, you guys, let me go ahead and open up a mic here. 346-274. Hello. Welcome.
Hello, everybody. Hi.
Hello.
Listen, y'all are cracking bread. Should I sing the song so y'all can
hear me? Is this Cotton? Is this Cotton?
No. Should I start singing so y'all know it was me? I didn't feel no love and none of that at all. Like, let me hang up.
I looked over at the number and I said, oh, that's Cotton.
I didn't know I was on either, Cotton.
It was like they didn't know who you were. Who is this person?
I said, let me hang up and start over. Maybe they don't. I was like, you know what? If O'Brien ain't on here, I'm just going to hang up anyway. How about that?
Well, you know, I emailed him and I sent him a message. And let me see where it was. Because I invited him to come on, and he said I should be able to what time. I sent him the time and the number, so I don't know. I told him at 1 Pacific time, so I haven't heard from him yet. So we still got a whole
I hope they didn't think that it was our normal 6 o'clock to 8 p.m., you know.
No, I sent them. No, I put everybody. I sent them the time. I said 1 p.m. Pacific, especially the folks on the West Coast. I texted them and told them it's 1 p.m. Pacific time, their time.
Oh, okay.
Because when you try to say Eastern time, then they some people, not everybody, but they're thinking, oh, you know, 6 p.m. my time. Oh, you mean your time? So I usually send it to them and let them know, no, it's your time zone that I'm sending you, and I put Pacific. Okay, so, and yeah, he did see. I see where he saw 1 p.m. Pacific, so hopefully he'll show up. And a few others are supposed to be showing up.
Yeah.
I hope they make it, you know. And then again, everybody might be around the grill right about now. You never know. And that was a question, and not to totally stray away from that story, but I'll get into that in a minute. But so let me ask you guys that. Listen to the story. According to this report, and this is what I saw at the end of it, that let me scroll back down. I'm sorry. I passed that up, that section up. Okay, so it says the indictment. Okay, wait a minute. The governor, Polis eventually appointed Attorney General Phil Weiser as a special prosecutor to investigate Mr. McClain's death in September of 2021. A grand jury indicted the three officers involved in Mr. McClain's death, as well as two paramedics, Jeremy Cooper and Peter Shashnulnik, or whatever that, however you say that, with the Aurora Fire Department. The city indicated that the officers and medics still with the department. Officer Rosenblatt was fired in 2020, would be suspended without pay. The indictment accuses the paramedics of failing to follow medical protocols before and after they injected Mr. McClain with ketamine. Mr. McClain was already handcuffed when the medics arrived at the scene, and the indictment says they did not talk to Mr. McClain, check his vital signs, or properly monitor him after giving him a powerful drug. After the initial decision not to charge the officers, Mr. McClain's mother pushed lawmakers to adopt police reforms as the case garnered more attention in the weeks after the murder of Mr. Floyd. Vanessa Wilson, the interim chief of the Aurora Police Department, announced a ban on the hold, like the one used on Mr. McClain. Officers are also now required to report excessive force used by their colleagues and to announce their intention to use deadly force before firing their weapons. Governor Jared Polis of Colorado signed an executive order appointing the state attorney general, Phil Weiser, to reexamine the case and file charges if the facts support prosecution. Quote, Elijah McClain should be alive today, Mr. Paulus said in a statement, and we owe it to his family to take this step and elevate the pursuit of justice in his name to a statewide concern. On August 11, 2020, Mr. McClain's family filed a lawsuit against the city of Aurora and the civil complaint filed in the U.S. District Court for the District of Colorado by Mr. McClain's parents, Shannon McClain and LaWayne Mosley, seeks damages for the family and names the city, 12 police officers, 2 fire department paramedics, and the department's medical directors as defendants. In a span of 18 minutes, defendants subjected Elijah to a procession of needless and brutal force techniques and unnecessary recklessly administered medication, the combined effects of which he could not survive, the lawsuit said. The same day, Mr. Weiser announced an investigation into whether the Aurora Police Department has employed, quote, patterns and practices that may deprive people of their constitutional rights. The investigation will be a broad look at the police department's record of arrests, stop searches, and use of force. End of story. That's interesting.
Wow.
That's sad.
I'm glad they followed up. I'm glad they followed up.
I just hate the fact that, you know, I'm just looking at in this story, there's so many different scenarios that are thrown in here. You know, sneaky or suspicious looking, body cams fall off, giving him a drug more than what his body, you know, than what is recommended, the lack of that he's already on the ground. There's so much stuff here and super strength.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's everything. You know what I mean? I mean, they threw everything at this guy. They just threw everything.
And he tried to get their weapon. And he tried to get their weapon.
And tried to get the weapon. 140-pound guy. I don't know. It boggles the mind, you guys.
Yeah.
So,
it sure boggles the mind.
I really don't get it. Anyway, well, doesn't look like anybody's showing up yet. We still got an hour and 15 minutes, so maybe folks will chime in later on. And like I said, they might be, you know, tied up. But I did reach out, and I did have some folks say that they'll be here. So haven't seen them on the board yet. And they definitely have the – now, I was concerned that they might have the old number because some of them haven't been on the show since we were with the JQ Network. But that's how come I made sure I sent them the new number. So I made sure that. Be funny, they call. Because they called into if they called into Jay King's network, they will get Ali Ali's show right about now.
Mm.
His show will come on at 6. Yeah, I'm sorry, his show will come on at 6. If we were coming on at 6, then they will get his show. But right. Now,
so
for you guys here.
Courtney and her mother?
Right now they will get Courtney, yeah. They will get Courtney Ann right now. That's right. She her show's on until 5 o'clock. Yeah, she's 3 to 5, I believe. Yeah, she's 3 to 5. So they will get a real and raw.
Mm.
Yeah, so anyway, with that being said, so today, and then here's one reason why I shot the hour up, because a friend had contacted me and asked me, what are you doing Saturday? I said, well, I've got to do the show. And she was like, oh, I was going to invite you to go to a concert. I said, who? Key Sweat. I'm like, okay. I said, okay. So for you guys that live here in Atlanta, you know where the Barnes Mabel House Theater is here on Floyd Road. That's where Keith Sweat is performing tonight. It's an all-white party event, though I'm sure not everybody's going to be in all-white. But, yeah, and, wow, it sold out.
Are you wearing all-white?
I don't have an all-white outfit. I ain't been to no wedding. I got no all white. Seriously, I don't have an all white outfit. In fact, I don't have a pair of white pants. I don't have white pants. I got white shirts, but I don't have any white pants. And I started to go get some. I said, you know what? I ain't going to go buy no damn white pants. I'll only wear them once. You know, white gets dirty so quick, too. But, I talked to Marvin McIntyre, that's Keith's manager, and he had said, you know, it don't matter. He said, hell, if we were in New York, some of the Africans in New York, they probably come with their dark shikis on of all kinds of colors. So, you know, it don't matter. So I said, okay. So, but it should be a good show. And it sold out. It sold completely out. Even the lawn. They said 1,000 people sold out the lawn.
Oh,
1,000
wow.
people. So that's impressive. You know, and that's a nice size amphitheater. Okay, so I want to go ahead real quick and let's do a quick music break. And let me see. Since OB hasn't made it yet, let's listen to a little bit of O'Brien. Here's O'Brien with Sometimes.
Yes.
I
right, welcome back to the TMGS. That's OB, better known as O'Brien, with Sometimes Lockdown, released right at the height of the pandemic. Great track. I love that track. And, yeah, great song, guys, great song. I want to also say something. Today, they laid Brother DLW to rest. You guys remember DLW here, there on the JT Network. And I saw some of the live stream earlier. They had a nice going home service for him. And, of course, prayers to all his family and all his friends. But, yeah, it was his service today. So, yeah, prayers up to the family. I want to also share something that happened this week. This being the 1 year anniversary of the show, you know, I wasn't sure financially if I was going to be able to do the show. I really wasn't sure. And a friend of mine said, "Mike, you need to drop your pride and you know, see if you can you know, raise some money." I said, "I don't want to do no Cash App thing and all that crap, you know." And so I thought about it. I said, well, then again, I don't want to not do the show. So I did put out a request on social media. And to my surprise, I, you know, got a lot of donations to the show. And I want to thank Mama D and Courtney from Real and Raw, Dr. Makiba. Believe it or not, Anthony A.K. King, J. King, who else? Denise L. Wilkerson, just to name a few, Myrtle Smith, Quinn Phillips,
Hello?
Yeah.
I think we lost Mike.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I thought he took a long pause or got choked up, but
yeah, I think we lost. He'll probably be back in just a minute or so, I guess.
Yeah. Then finally I said, maybe it's my phone. That's why I said hello.
Yeah, me too. I said, is it my phone? What happened?
Wow.
I'm texting him.
But it is nice that so many people gave donations to keep the show going. You know, so I think that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I said, you know, and I'm with you. I was happy he finally put his pride aside, because in our private conversation, I said, Michael, if you need some, you know, let me know. I can pitch in, yada, yada, yada. And he never, you know, took me up on the offer. So I said, because, you know, some people, they don't want you to keep pushing. And so I pushed. I said, I'm not going to say nothing. So I just waited. And I said, well, God worked it out the way that he wanted to, because he finally put his pride aside and said, all right.
Yeah, because, I mean, we're like family, but it was hard for him to say something to me, but, you know, he did, because we talk a lot, so, you know, but, you know, like you said, sometimes you just have to put that pride aside.
Yeah,
and,
I don't mind helping to keep the show going.
Yeah.
Well, I know it was meant a lot to him to just even have the show today, so. I'm glad.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. Me too, because I said I did not want to see it go away at all.
No, because Michael's been doing this for quite some time. He started out with Mike's Girl Mike Live, and then he went from that to the J. King, and I've been with him every step of the way. And then we were Cool Critics, and from there it was the Michael Gay Show, and then the Michael Gay Network. You know, so I mean, it's been a while, but I mean, I feel like we've arrived, and our next step is to go live instead of with video instead of just audio. So that should be next.
Yeah, I did text him and let him know we lost him. So hopefully he got it.
Yeah, he might be trying to get back on. Oh, let me make sure he didn't text me. Let's see, Michael.
Okay, I'm back. A ghost in the machine here. You know,
okay.
I didn't touch the phone or nothing. It just went boop, and then I had to dial back in. And the bad thing about dialing back in, you got to dial in the number. Well, I have a number programming to the phone, but then you still have to put in this 10-digit holding pin, and
yeah,
then wait for her to say,
"Please,
so you're dialing back into a show that's already in progress. Please hold." I'm like, "Come on!" And then it went boop, and it shut off again, so I had to dial back in twice. Okay, so
no, that. We're glad you didn't chime in while we were talking bad about you.
You know what, Cotton? All these shows are archived, so I can always go back and listen.
wait, so I'm letting you know ahead of time. We said you got choked up.
Oh no, he's gonna hear what we were saying. Oh no,
I'm gonna go back and listen. Yes, sir, Bob.
Yeah, he did that to me one time. Me and Cynthia.
Yep, one time. Yep, you and Cynthia were just dogging me out on the air live, and
We didn't mention the name though, but he assumed it.
Yeah,
we were talking about him.
Yeah, I called back in, and I was listening. I said, wait a minute. Let me just wait a minute here. I just waited and waited, and I said, See, I can see you guys. You can't see me. I can see you.
That's funny.
But I said we were honest. We weren't telling a lie. So, I mean, hey.
Yes, we were very honest.
Well, I wasn't, Mike. You know, I was just speaking. I'm just kidding.
Us ladies just got through under the bus.
No.
Well, you know what? But you know, Cotton, don't forget, you got caught too, remember?
Yes, I remember.
And who caught you?
Ron DeVoe called me. He's like, wait a minute. I heard what the lady said. I was like, oh, geez, I didn't know he was listening.
Yep. He was like, oh, so you just going to throw me away. You told your girlfriend, well, you can have Ron or something like that.
I got
it was
that.
Ralph. It was Ralph or Johnny, one of them, I think.
It was, yeah, I kind of took Johnny. I was like, I take Johnny. It's cool. You can have Ronnie.
Right. You can have Ronnie.
Man. You can have Ronnie for real.
Let me ask you guys, and I chimed back in. I heard Janet finishing up about the history of the shows. And I have to say, it's been really interesting, a lot of fun, and meeting a lot of different people. What shows do you recall that you like the best?
With me, it was Pearl Jr. and Robert Taylor.
Now, that was with, let's see, we were Cool Critics then, I believe.
It was with Robert Taylor, right. But Pearl Jr., didn't we have her on the show once since it's been Michael Gay show?
Well, you know, she had been on twice. She had been on twice. I think she came on but no, she didn't come on during the Cool Critic, I don't think. I think it was all TMDF. I have to agree with you, Robert Taylor. Yeah, Robert Taylor, and I don't know if I shared that story with you guys, but that was so amazing. If you get a chance, you can go to YouTube and pull up this video. What was it called? Cancer Alley.
Cancer Alley.
And it's Cancer Alley. Yeah, Cancer Alley. And it's about a town called Reserve, Louisiana. And there's a bunch of towns along this river, and it's a lot of pollution from large chemical factories. And unfortunately, a lot of people in this town have died of cancer, including his family. And I really recommend that you watch this, because it is really sad, because there's a small burial plot, and the majority of the people in this plot are his family members. But the plot sits in the middle of the chemical plant.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see that?
Ground.
It sits in the middle of it. He can't just go over there to see his relatives. He has to make an appointment to go onto the grounds to go over and, pay some respects. It's really sad. And we were trying to see if we can contact him to try to get him to come back, because he said he would love to come back on the show. And here's what's so awesome about this gentleman. Janet did the research and tracked him down. And at the time, he was in California. And we were inviting him on the show and talking to him. And he said, well, that's going to be difficult, because the time that you want me to come on your show, I'll be in the air flying back home to Louisiana. And I was like, well, okay, well, let's schedule for next week. He said, well, let me call you back. And he called back. Do you know this man postponed his flight to stay in L.A. for another day to come on the show?
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
He postponed it. Yeah, postponed his flight. That was so, Janet, I have to say, I agree, well, I already said it, but I agree with you. That was one of the best shows we ever had, was with Mr. Robert Taylor. And I do recommend, please, if you get a chance, go to YouTube and pull up the video. It is called Cancer Alley, and it's a deep story. I think it came on HBO at first.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
That laying in bed at night feels like being sealed in a coffin because of the pollution of the air. And that was deep. And he thinks about the kids while they're in school. It's like a death sentence for everybody, And they've been fighting for a long time. And now they're going through COVID, a high amount of COVID in that area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really great documentary. And I do, as I said, recommend that you check it out. Yeah, that's one of my favorite shows. And I have to say, I have to say the second interview with O'Brien has to be one of the best shows ever.
Yes.
Because of all the people who were on that show. And, as most of you know, O'Brien was a guest for 1 hour one Saturday. And then everybody jumped on me and said, Michael, that should have been a 2-hour show. We ain't had enough time. I'm like, well, hey, I thought an hour was going to be enough.
Even O'Brien said he needed more time.
Right. So what we did, we went ahead and we did another show the following Saturday. And then the Saturday after that, we scheduled a 2-hour show with OB. And like I said, it was really interesting is the fact that Karen White was going to chime in. And I had a few other folks I asked to call in. And Karen and Grace in Hawaii called, and Karen asked, well, what time do you want me to call in? And, we're talking this thing. And I said, well, why don't you just host the show? He said, you sure? I said, yeah. I mean, you guys, you know more about OB than I do. And, oh, man, it took off from there. Karen must have called everybody in the first half of her phone book, or maybe the quarter of it at that point, or first page, because all kinds of folks were calling in. And it was just such – and that wasn't even enough time. I mean, we could have done a 3-hour show, actually, with all the calls, because unfortunately some people didn't get a chance to chime in, and some people were very upset with me. And I can understand to a certain extent, but, I wasn't the host that day, I was just running the board. It was Karen White's show that day. Actually, it was for O'Brien. Karen was the host, and they were texting me all these open up the mic on this one here. That so-and-so, open up their mic. Open up that mic, you know. And I'm like, okay, slow down, you know. So, that has to be one of the best shows, too. And, by the way, let me just make this quick announcement. If you are listening on the Internet, just go ahead and, jump into the chat room. If you got any questions or comments, go ahead and post them there, and I will read them on the air. And you are listening to the TMGS. The number here is 516-531-9861. That's 516-531-9861. I see a caller on the board, a 703-868. If you have a question or comment, go ahead and hit the number one so I can open up your mic. Let me see here. I'm going through another person here. Going through my phone here and looking at another person here. Oh, wow, where'd they go? I had them on. And by the way, let me say this. Time and Chip texted me earlier, and he really wanted to be here, but he's in Utah, and he said his plane wouldn't land in time for him to come on the show. So you guys, say hello to Timon. And also, he said he's not going to be able to make it. Okay, 703-868. Is waving their hand. Welcome to the TMGS. Who do we have on the line?
Hey, man, you're supposed to know that number.
What's up,
this
OB?
This is O'Brien, man. Hey.
What's happening, my brother?
Not a whole lot. You know what? It's funny because, you know, from time to time I check my messages and stuff, you know, and because, bruh, I forgot. I'm out here in these streets, man, running around and doing stuff that needed to be done throughout the week. So I'm so glad that I checked and got that reminder, man. But I just wanted to chime in and say, yeah, we really did have a great time, and it's one of the most memorable interviews of my whole career, really. We had such a great time. There was one other thing. You know, from the time that I went to South Africa with Karen, and I don't know how y'all were talking on the phone even back then, but it seemed like we were talking to you on the phone even from South Africa. Maybe we were using WhatsApp or something. I can't remember, but ever since, you know, she's like, yeah, you need to do Michael Gay's show. You know, yeah, he's really nice and all the things. You know, She told me what a wonderful guy you were and everything. And so ever since then, you know, I had been wanting to do the show, especially because, you know, at her, I won't say request, but at her, you know, she's like, you should do it. You know, she's like, she was urging me on, you know, because I don't do a whole lot of interviews, you know. So, I wanted to chime in, man, and just tell you how much, you know, I did enjoy speaking with all of you that day. It really was a great experience and one that I'll never forget.
Wow.
Oh, man, we appreciate you so much, man. It's two that I'll never forget. The first hour show and then the second 2 hour show. I'll never forget both shows. You know, that was so
yeah,
much fun.
Yeah, man.
So how are things going with you? In fact, we just played your cut sometimes just before you called in. So,
really?
Go ahead. Yeah, we just played it. Because, see, Cotton was saying, Cotton said, if O'Brien's not on the line, I'm hanging up. And I said, well, let me play O'Brien. And lo and behold, you pop up.
Yeah, man. And, you know, that's really funny because I'm out here on one of these lonely highways, the Menegoni Highway out in California. It ain't really lonely. I'm just saying that because it's packed and getting on my damn nerves. But that was perfect timing then because I swear I'm just rolling. And I said, you know, I'm so annoyed by this traffic. I'm like, let me just look at my messages, you know. And so when I did, you know, so. My ears must have been ringing. Something was prodding me to wake up and smell the coffee because I sure did forget, and I did not want to forget. So I'm glad I did when I did. But But what I was going to say is right now we're just working on, you know, trying to get a method to the madness, man, because, you know, we've had shows lined up and then the shows get canceled and pushed back one time and then they get canceled and pushed back again. And so, you know, this COVID thing has really changed our game completely. So the only thing left to do is kind of just, you know, live the life that the Lord has blessed you to have and just keep living. And when things open up and get better, they just get better, you know. Writing music and writing songs, working with Akbar, you know, we're constantly on the grind. You know what I'm saying? We're constantly on the grind, you know, especially with, you know, the Supernova team, which is Karen's record, you know, record label.
Right.
And other than that, you know, I'm just, you know, grooming my music to get it ready for my live show. Hopefully Karen and I are going to do more than just, you know, me go with her, you know, in the future. You know, you'll be getting both of our shows. You know, it'll be O'Brien and Karen White, and then we'll, you know, I'm apt to open for her and open to opening for her. We, you know, we ain't no egos in our family network. You dig? So it's
correct.
Like we all do what we do, and there's no competition. You know, it's like, well, you know, I ain't opening. No nigga, shit, I'll open. I don't care. Seriously? I'm O'Brien. I'm who I am. She's Karen White. She's
right.
Who she is. But I feel that it would be more appropriate for me to open and come back and sing with her, you know. Or I just don't see it the other way around, you know.
Right. I follow you. Well,
but
let me ask you this, that's interesting that you said that, because things are opening up now. There's concerts that were scheduled a year ago. In fact, I mentioned earlier that this evening here in Mableton, Georgia, just north of Atlanta, Keith Sweat is performing tonight, and that's how come the show is early today, because a friend of mine had invited me to come to the concert. I said, well, I'll just schedule the show earlier, and it's sold out. Are you at the point where you feel comfortable going on stages now? I mean, at this point, because I know some artists that they want to wait it out, you know, like Tony Terry said he's still waiting it out. How do you feel about going on stage now?
Well, you know, it's I'm a little leery, you know, but like I said, I made a joke the other day, but I was kind of serious. I'm like, I'm about to become the masked singer.
I saw that, you know,
I don't mind going on stage, but I still don't want to just let my guard completely down, man, because this thing is ever changing, as you can see.
Correct.
You know, these different variants, and as long as the virus is out there, it keeps mutating. And so, you know, and I think about like right now, Oscar De La Hoya, you know, who was completely vaccinated, and we also know Jesse Jackson was vaccinated, and we also know already, without seeing those cases, that the vaccine doesn't keep you from getting the virus. So I just don't want to get the virus. You dig? So I think about how Oscar was getting ready to fight next week, and now he's you know, he's in the hospital. And he was fully vaccinated. So it's scary, man, because we go to, you know, we go directly into the fire, so to speak, when we do concerts. We're around hundreds of people, and whether we're up on stage, we're still in the wind, you dig? So it's like if it's an outdoor concert, well, that's still, you know, 500 to 1,000, maybe 2,000 miles out there yelling and screaming and putting that breath in the air, bro. You know what I'm saying?
True.
And I've been in outdoor concerts where the wind blows every which way, you know. The wind hits you in the face, the wind hits you at your back, and it hits you from back, all sides, basically. So when that wind blows and it's coming from the crowd, man, and you know, you can't tell what people are doing. You don't know who's vaccinated and who ain't. And to know that the vaccine ain't going to keep nobody from getting the virus. It's like, yeah, I'm scared to get sick. I don't want to get sick.
Right.
You know? But at the same time, I don't want to throw what I love and what God has blessed me to do and share in the trash, you know, or just, you know, put it down. So I'm kind of the same feeling as Tony Terry. I'd like for it to be a little bit safer. I don't want to take unnecessary chances, but then again, just being out here driving on this road that I'm on right now, I mean, it's in the air, man, and it's like it just depends on who coughed or who sneezed ahead of you, you know, upwind from you or whatever. You can be walking in your neighborhood, and ain't nobody in on the sidewalk but you, but up the street, somebody sneezed and it got caught in that wind, and you don't even know you're breathing that. You don't know. So it's scary. It's scary times. So, and seeing as how, you know, some of us, we don't all have to do, you know, if I never did another concert, I'm not going to be homeless. You dig? So
right.
it gets to be one of those things where, okay, well, I love my fans and I want to be out there for my fans. But at the same time, I do not want to get sick and have a bad time of it. If I get sick, I just hope it's an easy time, bro, because, you know, we done seen too many people die, too many people get super, super sick, and even when they recover, they're not really recovered completely like they were, you know, so.
Well, Joe Levy, right? You know Joe Levy, right?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, of course you do. Yeah. And, you know, Joe just recently had it. And he came on the show, 2 weeks ago, Janet? Yeah, about 2 weeks ago. And shared his experience with it. And that was a deep conversation because the fact that, you know, you got COVID and then you got the Delta variant out, which are two different things, from my understanding, two different viruses. And that's what a lot of folks are having to fear. Of getting the Delta variant, so and I understand where you're coming
from.
This thing has mutated so many times, it's hard to say what's safe and what's not. I definitely agree with
you. Plus,
anybody, real quick, anybody have any questions for Obi?
Well, of course I do.
What you want to know? What?
Hey, OB.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. It's always good to hear that. Michael's right. As soon as I came on, I said, hey, if O'Brien ain't on here, I'm just going to hang up now because this is going to be all bad. But I did have a question about, would you ever do verses?
You know, I'm just one of them cats. I don't like that. I'm going to just be honest, you know, because I've never felt like we're supposed to be in competition with each other out here. My whole thing in this game is to we all on the team, we all on the court, you know, and my skills are my skills. And because, you know, there's some people that can sing rings around me. My tone is my tone and my gift is my gift. You know, but I can't sing like that boy in Silk. I can't sing like so-and-so and Charlie. Charlie got 20 million runs at the end of every, you know. You dig? I sing with feeling. I sing with feeling and conviction and tone. And I just do what I do, you know. And I'm not selling myself short, and I'm not selling anybody else all the way to heaven or anything. I'm just saying, we're not supposed to be in competition with each other. So when I see the verses thing, it just makes me feel like, you know, Tony Terry and O'Brien, you know, and such and such, you know, it's like, look, now if you're talking about song for song, hit for hit, then I can run with some people. But if we talk about who sings better and who does this and who, it's like, man, I ain't about to do that, you know. You got Smokey Norfolk out there singing, you know, come on, we got some hellified singers in this world, you know, and I ain't competing with nobody but me. I'm competing with me, but yeah, I don't like the versus thing, you know. It just depends, and you know, it just depends on what it's about. And maybe if somebody explains to me that it is hit for hit, and not,
well,
you know, not that we're competing.
That's what it's supposed to be about, but the younger people kind of make it into a competition. But, you know, it's kind of like it gives the young generation the opportunity to hear what real music is. You know,
see, and
with somebody like you hitting the stage.
yeah. I guess if it didn't have the word verses in it, I would be more comfortable with it. I don't like competition like that. I'm not in this to be competing with nobody, because naturally I want everybody to win. I want everybody to be a winner. And anything that's a so-and-so versus so-and-so, somebody got to lose. And I ain't custom to losing either. So, you know what I mean?
You know what?
I don't even want to be.
I like that.
You know?
But I like that because, I haven't really watched all the verses, to be honest. I think I've watched maybe two or three of them. And I didn't even watch the one with Gladys and Patty, because I love them both. And like you said, they have unique styles. I mean, just different styles and everything. So I really wasn't a big fan of that one, you know. And then the one with Keith Sweat and Bobby Brown. To me, Keith is more of a balladeer type, though he has up-tempo songs. But his stuff is more, you know, his style is different than Bobby Brown's. And I just didn't – sometimes I think the pairing just isn't right, you know, for whatever reason to do it, you know. But as you said, there's some things you just don't compete with each other in, and that's one of them I didn't really agree with. Let me open up a mic real quick. I have a hand up.
Right on.
And I do believe I know who this is. Let me go ahead and hold on a minute. See, now the board wants to act funny, which it shouldn't do. One moment here. Where is it at? Where'd they go?
I just want to say I love you, O'Brien.
Okay. All right. They dropped. I guess they're gonna call back in. Hello?
What was that? Hello?
I think that was Cotton. Cotton, what did you say?
I said I love O'Brien.
Oh.
So she said, I love you, O'Brien.
Yes, I did. I just wanted to make sure that he knew.
I love O'Brien. She said, I love you, O'Brien.
look, and that's real. You know, let me tell you something. You know, we're in a time now where we need to tell people that we love each other in the way that, you know, the Creator intended for us to all love one another. And I tell people I love them all the time. You know, I'm not, you know, if when I'm on Facebook, that's my page and I run it. And, you know, I very rarely hit the like button anymore. I hit love all the time on people's stuff, you know, and I tell people that I love them. That's what the love button is for, man. It ain't got to be that you love exactly what you know, you can love that person felt how they felt when they made that post or when they put on that dress or when they, a lot of people think it's a lot of flirting going on, but sometimes it's just about brothers and sisters being brothers and sisters for real and saying, you look nice today. You dig what I'm saying? And that has to come, that comes from a brotherly love and a godly love. And so I don't mind nobody telling me they love me, because I'm going to tell you I love you back, because that's what we're supposed to do, you know?
Thank you.
That's what's wrong. That's what's wrong with the world now. There ain't enough people loving one another the way they're supposed to. And the people that think they loving people in the way that they think, the relationships be all jacked up, okay? You tell somebody you love them. You know, when you tell somebody that you love them in the way that, you know, God intended for you to love people as your brother and as your sister, I can accept that. You know, that's a better love for me, you know. So I don't mind telling people that I love them, and I don't mind them telling me that they love me. So,
you know what, you got a good point there. Yeah, you got a good point there, because like my brothers here on the phone and my sisters, y'all know most of the time I always say, all right, now, take care. Love you, bro. all right, love you, sis. You know
exactly.
what I'm saying? Because my baby sister actually put that in me because she said something, you know, like what you just said, to be like, you know, you never know when you're going to see each other again. And you hear that a lot, you know, in these, especially
That's
in
true.
These times. There's people who have gone to the hospital with COVID and now they can't even talk to their family member or whatever and say goodbye to them, you know, since they're going to pass away. So I make it a point to say that to almost anybody that I know. I always say, all right, of course, people that I know, not just a total stranger, but I'll say it to pretty much all my friends. All right, bro, take care. Peace. Love you, man. All right, bro, love you too. That's it. You know?
Absolutely.
Right.
That's the way it should be. I see a call here on the board, 916. You're going to chime in. Do me a favor and please hit the number 1 so I can open up your mic. And let's see. I see there here on the board, and I believe I know who this is. Because, yep, I do know who this is. So 916-271, please hit the number 1. And, again, for you folks that are listening on the Internet, if you want to chime into the chat room, please go ahead and do so. It just takes a moment to chime in and say hello to OB, the one and only O'Brien. Okay, so 916-271. I know who this is, but I'm going to let you go ahead and introduce yourself. Welcome to the show, my brother.
Hey, so Michael, Derek Allen.
What's
man.
Up, bro?
Derek. Brother, I didn't know if you were on, but, man, Brother Brian, how you doing? And I just,
hey.
I'm glad I came in when I did. I'm glad I came in when I did. And man, Brian, it's good to hear your voice. Michael, it's good to hear your voice, man. Hope all you
likewise,
guys are well.
Likewise, brother, likewise.
Yeah, man, absolutely, man. I want to come and say what's up to you both and let you know I was trying my best to get in here, and I made it.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
Hey, man, let me ask you, as we know, the Kim album is fire, great work on that
appreciate
album.
It.
And I know that
really
you're staying busy, and I'm glad that O'Brien has shared that, you know, he shared with us what they're working on and the Supernova label, Karen White's label, and the Supernova family. What do you got going on right now? I know you're staying busy. What should we be looking forward to coming from your end?
Well, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy because, you know, it's not just about, like, the kind of the major or the national projects that I've been working on. Man, I've been really thankful and thanking God that he's been blessing me to work with a lot of independent artists that, you know, aren't signed and I'm able to connect with them, and I've been really busy with a lot of independent artists. In fact, tonight, so you know, in Sacramento, we have this big jubilee going on in our city, and this brother I work with named Sean Rayford, he's playing along with Jay King. So I work with Sean Rayford. He's a jazz artist, and he's an unsigned artist, and he's an instrumentalist. And I've been working with him for about 4 years, and then he's performing tonight. So I also kind of work with the band, you know. I kind of do double duties, you know. And then I'm working with Jay and Club Nouveau and his band, so we're preparing a really really great. It's been going on all day, so I'm glad I'm able to at least catch a show, man. So with that is like really is what I've been really. You know, is been excited about. I am getting ready to start the next Kim project. And, you know, I'm so blessed to be able to be brought back to work with him on his next record. So, because of the success from the first album, so man, I don't take none of it lightly, man. None of it. It's all joy for me, bro. For real. Yeah.
Hey, man.
Go ahead, OB.
Oh, no, I just said amen to what he said, man, because it's true.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's the truth.
And that, let me just acknowledge that brother on the phone, Mr. O'Brien, man. I really am grateful for that brother because when I was young, that brother Michael reached out to me, man, and gave me like one of my first opportunities ever to do something major, and I never forgot it, never will. It'll go to my grave, and man, I'm very thankful. At that time, O'Brien was a big star. You know, he's still a star, but at that time, he was just on the top of the mountaintop. And here I am, this little kid from Sacramento, man, that he took a chance on and gave me an opportunity that, you know, I just never, never forgot, man. He put me in a situation to where I could be amongst just great musicians he's had in his band with Melvin Davis, Michael Northley. You know, I mean, it's just these great musicians, and man, I got a chance to just sit and watch him work and do his thing. So OB, man, you know, you my brother for life, man, and one of the greatest ever do it. And man, I thank you, man. I really, really, sincerely do.
And you know, I love you, man, just like family.
Man, I love you back, bro.
You know,
I love you back, man.
I'll never forget that. You know, when I see the, and I'm glad that we have that. It's in history, man, because you came on Soul Train with me.
Man, absolutely.
I love
you. Hey, Michael.
I love
Michael
you driving up there, man.
I'm on Soul Train. I never even thought I would dream about being on Soul Train, man. And O'Brien, man, let me be on Soul Train with him and his band. And man, it was just, it's just like it was yesterday. I remember it so well. And that was really, man, the start of, like, my professional career as being a noted guy. Because, you know, they introduced everybody in the band. And man, he didn't have to do that, man. OB was, you know, he could have picked anybody in the world, man. And I happened to be in that position. And, man, I never took it lightly. And, man, one of the greatest singers on the planet to this day. Just thank you, man. I will never, ever forget you, brother. Never.
Man, thank you, brother. I love you, man. It's all good. It's all good. That's the way God works, man. That's the way, you know.
Absolutely, man. So,
okay, I'm
so
sorry.
Congratulations to you, Michael. Congratulations to you, man, on your anniversary, man. I'm really proud of you, brother.
Thank you, my brother.
I piggyback on that real quick because, yeah, I wanted to tell you that too, man. Congratulations, Mike.
Appreciate you, truly, you know, and I'm thankful because, as I said, you know, before that, in fact, Denise Wilkinson had asked me what do I like most about the show, and I truly and honestly mean it. It's the co-host, foremost, it's the co-host because they don't have to do this on Saturdays. For the past, not just the 1 year that we've been an independent show since leaving the JQ network, but just all the years they've been with, especially Janet Davis, Jones, and come on, and Cotton Campbell, and a host of others that have been part of. That's just been the blessing for me, for them to be here, you know. That's what I really, really, really love about doing it. And of course, to you guys for coming on, you know, seeing Men of the Word. I've had some folks who have been promising to come on and never could get them on. And when I look back at all the guests, I mean, sometimes I have to pinch myself, like, how the hell did I get them on? You know, it just blows me away. It truly blows me away. So thank you guys so much. One more thing I was going to say. By the way, I think the funniest thing, and I've said this before, was Ron DeBow from New Edition. It took me over 5 years to get him to come on. And I see him all the time, right? And I kept inviting him. And finally, one day I ran into him. He said, how about this weekend? And I was like, what? After 5 years. So, that was good. So thank you guys again. Let me quickly ask anybody else on the board, any of my co-hosts, if you guys have any questions or comments for DOA or for O'Brien.
This is off the French show. Just be safe and keep doing what you're doing. And we're listening, and we're going to be waiting for your project. and your appearances wherever you show up. And if you're in the Atlanta area and everything is cool, like O'Brien said, I'll be there.
Hey, man, we're trying to come to center stage right now.
So, oh.
we're trying to work that out. It just depends. I mean, but yeah, and we appreciate that, man. We appreciate
all right.
it.
Yeah.
I think you had a question.
Well, I was just going to say to O'Brien that, you know, I love the fact that he's speaking about love, you know, because everybody's complaining right now, and we need to show more love. And Cotton can attest to this. Every time you come on, I feel wet. And that was from a couple of interviews ago, and she know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Cotton, you want to translate that for us? You want to go ahead and translate that? What you talking about?
I'm trying to make sure I heard what I heard. Wait a minute. I'm going to just leave it.
We just have to bring the love and the laughter together, because that's what's going to unite us. Your music, love, and laughter. And if we can't have a sense of humor about things, you know, we're going to find reasons to complain. So if we have a sense of humor, we laugh and we don't complain and we show more love.
Absolutely. I'm still waiting for Cotton to translate the wet part. I'm still trying.
I don't think she needs to.
Okay.
She's probably blushing too hard over there. You guys are like, why are you asking a woman? What you mean?
I am definitely blushing.
Like, God. Oh, my God. I guess we all grown. We can play like that.
Yeah. Kyle,
oh, yeah.
The elephant's the only one that don't forget. Police don't forget either.
Yeah. Right. That's so funny. Oh, my God. I'm going to leave that one alone. But look, how much more time you got, man? I don't want to dip off, and I don't want to stay too long either, if, you know.
What?
But, I got time. I'm on here. I ain't trying to go nowhere, but I just want to make sure that we're not hogging up your lines and stuff, you know.
Oh, no, we got time.
You good?
Well, actually, I'm good. It's 5:38 p.m. Eastern time. So what's that, 2:38 your time? And so, yeah, we got till 6 p.m. Eastern. So we got a little more time. We got about 12 more minutes.
You got a
roughly.
Little time, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Have that. Janet, did you have any questions or comments?
No, because I had an exterminator come, and I was stepped out for a minute. So.
Oh, okay. Okay,
I enjoyed the conversation, and I'm glad that O'Brien and DOA, Derek Allen, had a chance to chime in to help us celebrate our first year anniversary of being on the Michael Gay Network.
All right, yes. And by
absolutely.
The way, a former co-host, well, actually she was a host with me on The Cool Critics. In fact, she was one of the originals. With Lynn Tolliver, and of course, Cool Critics had, you know, other hosts on the show. Valcine Young is in the chat room. She says, good evening. So, hello, Valcine. Thank you for chiming in into the chat room. If you have any questions or comments, go ahead and post them, and I'll read them on the
air.
What up,
Val?
Hey, Val. Says hello. Janet said hello. So, and let's see, I've got another text coming in. Let me see who this is. Let me see. Hold on. Oh, okay. Let me see. Is he going to be able to call in? One second. I'm sorry, guys. I can't talk and text at the same time.
Let me just make this clear, O'Brien. There's no such thing as you staying too long. There's no such thing. At all.
Well, you know. I'm just saying, I didn't know if, you know, maybe maybe one line takes up, you know, you only got so many lines or whatever, you know.
They just have to call back. I don't know.
I see how, okay. And you, all right.
Oh, well,
you know, I do have to say one thing.
Sure.
I do want to say one thing, though, because I know if you're on Facebook, which most of us are, and that's usually where I do most of my talking and whatever. I have an Instagram page, but I ain't always over there. But bottom line is everybody knows that I came down with Bell's palsy. And for all the people that prayed for me and you know, sent all the positive vibes and sent me messages about how this thing affected them or whatnot. And this happened before the vaccine. People were like, "Did you get the vaccine?" And I'm just telling y'all, I ain't got the vaccine yet. I'm honestly afraid to get it, and that's just me. But I also know that, you know, the science behind it is one thing, but then there's a whole bunch of other stuff. But anyway, I came down with what became known as a symptom or an after effect of the vaccine, long before the vaccine even came out. And I just wanted to thank everybody for praying for me, and I'm still not 100%. The left side of my face is still kind of going through some changes, and you know, the nerves are reconnecting. But I am not paralyzed now. You know, man, I could not move the side of my face, man, for 6 months, six whole entire months, and I thought. I was thinking about retiring. I was saying, hey, look, I'll just work behind the scenes. I'll do whatever, you know, I got to do, you know. But because I didn't know what this thing was. But through prayer and kind of, you know, letting God do what he does, you know, I'm coming back. I'm almost now 3 months or more. It's my face started coming back in March, put it like that. So I'm almost 6 months into recovery, and it might take a little bit longer, but I just wanted to let everybody know that I love you, and I thank you for your prayers and support and encouragement through all of that.
Right on, man. We appreciate you. Yeah, I saw when that was posted, and the love that people showed you was just amazing, you know, and that's a blessing, man. That's truly a blessing. Let me see here. I got another text.
I've got
another caller that's coming in shortly. No, I haven't talked to Karen. I heard that she hurt her foot, and in fact, she was in Vegas.
She did.
Last week. Yeah, Monday, I think it was. Oh, she got an award.
Yeah, she was there. Yeah, she did. And right now, she's in Dallas right now. She probably can't even get on right now, even if she wanted to, because it's getting close to showtime there for an event there. Not her, she's not performing, but I know she's there with her daughter. So, but anyway.
Oh, yeah, by the way, you guys, quickly I want to say this. Congratulations to Ashley Lewis. Her fiancé proposed to her live on stage at an Eric Badu concert. I saw that clip.
That
was awesome. The crowd went crazy. So congratulations, Ashley. Wow. That was great. I got a caller on the board, 478. Hit the number one so I can open up your mic and have you join us. I see they joined. Okay. And I'm not going to introduce him. I'm going to let him introduce himself. Caller, welcome to the show.
What's going on, Michael? It's Marquez Gaines. How you doing, man?
Marquez, what's up, my brother?
Nothing much, man. Out here on this road on this lovely Labor Day weekend, man.
Always busy. You're always on the road. And by the way, you guys, Marquez, I mean, he knows the who's who in this industry. What are you doing right now as we speak? Or I'm sure you're probably on the way to a concert or something, especially this weekend. Am I right?
Yep, I'm actually sitting at the venue right now. I'm in Cleveland, Ohio with SWV tonight. SWV and Stokely tonight.
With SWV and who?
Stokely. Stokely from Mint Condition.
Oh, Stokely Williams. Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Fantastic. Now, for people who don't know who you are, can you just give them an idea of who Marquez Gaines is and what you do?
Well, I'm Marquez Gaines. I am a manager and an agent. I own my company, Quez Entertainment. And right now I rep multiple artists, including SWV, Tamar Braxton, Jeffrey Osborne. And my agency books a lot of people, including folks like The Whispers, The OJs, and the list goes on and on and on.
All right. Man. You know, every time I look at your Facebook page, you're always somewhere. You're always somewhere, you know, promoting your artists and everything. So you said SWV and then, of course, the OJs. Now, you've been doing this for quite a while. And, I mean, you've been dealing in this music industry since you were really, really young, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So how did that, now that you're doing this, think of this, I want to say, since you're doing this, you know, tonight, and you live here in the ATL, and after that, you're going to probably go somewhere else, what, next week?
Tomorrow.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Well, tomorrow I'll actually be in Vegas with SWV and Shaka Khan tomorrow. And then I'll be back home on Monday. And then I'm back out on Thursday. I'll be in Memphis, Tennessee with Jeffrey Osborne and Stephanie Mills.
Okay. Fantastic. Now, you guys, if you remember, Marquez came on the show along with Carolyn Griffey of Shalimar the earlier part of last year. The middle part of last year, and that was a great conversation. Really, really appreciate that time with you two. Carolyn's over in England now, right?
Yes, I actually just talked to her about an hour ago, about 2 hours ago. Shalimar is actually getting ready to go on stage right now in the UK. They're over there for another week and a half, knocking out shows, man, and they've been knocking the crowds dead night after night.
Okay. Well, by the way, DOA had to jump off, but we have O'Brien on the line. O'Brien, that's Marquez Gaines. Marquez, of course, you know O'Brien. Asking O'Brien, how do you feel about the concert venues opening up now? You know, OB said, you know, not too sure yet, but how do you feel about it? Of course, you're out here now, but what precautions are you seeing that are going on with your artists?
So the first thing that happened is before I brought my artists on the road, I did a complete overhaul of our riders, right? So now I have stuff like Lysol wipes and Lysol spray on my rider. I have hand sanitizer. O'Brien, you can laugh at this because I did it with the Whispers, right? There's no more fun stuff on the riders anymore. There's no more Hennessy, no more wine. I took all of that off. I took.
You got a different kind of alcohol on there, right?
Absolutely. I took all that off, and we got sanitizers and stuff like that on the riders now. And now what I'm doing with some of my legacy artists, like the Jeffrey Osbornes, the Whispers, what I'm doing now is they're getting dressed at the hotel. They're coming directly over, doing the show, getting directly in the car, and going right back. It's not anymore getting dressed at the venues. We're not doing that anymore. And that's just on my side. That's just on the management side. Now, when you start looking at the venues, Live Nation is now doing something that's pretty immaculate. If you go on Ticketmaster to buy you tickets, you'll see that some of these events, it has a health check on there. And what that means is, in order for you to get into the show, whether you buy, if you bought a ticket, it doesn't matter. In order for you to get in the show, you have to either have your vaccination card or you have to have a negative test that was within 36 hours.
Wow.
So
wow.
Those are great precautions that are being put in place right now. And so far, so good. It seems to be working pretty well.
Hmm. That's interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah, I guess the test is real good. I know some people are going to probably opt for the test rather than the vaccine because people are just they're just afraid to put this vaccine in their bodies, you know. And I understand that, you know. Some mm-hmm. I understand, and then there are other people that I don't understand because they're counting on things that they're not even sure of themselves are gonna. You know, the immune system can only do so much. You know, you need a strong immune system, but if y'all think Oscar De La Hoya wasn't, you know, he's got all the money in the world, and he was training next week, I mean, and, you know, if you think his immune system wasn't intact, you'd think again, you know.
Right.
You need a strong immune system plus some common sense, at the very least, not to just be going out, you know, half-cocked. You know, against this virus because it's not discriminating at all. You know, it's not. So I think we really do need to be safe and take it serious, you know. And if you're not going to get vaccinated, you better don't be playing around. That's the damn sure.
I still wear my mask when I go out in public. I still wear a mask. And I got one of those large bottles of sanitizer, and I keep the little one with me in my pocket, you know, and just fill that one back up, you know, because just like you said, you don't know what's out there and who is vaccinated and who's not. So, you know, you can't really, you know.
It doesn't seem to matter either. The vaccine doesn't mm-hmm. keep you from getting the virus.
Right.
No,
that's true. Correct. It can help you fight it, you know, help you have a easier time at dealing with it. But, you know, it's almost like, you know, the way they're talking about it, it's like we all going to get it. You know, it's like, are we all going to get it? Because you're telling us the vaccine ain't going to keep us from getting it. So, but you need to get vaccinated because, I mean, I just don't. Look, that's a whole other subject. You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, just like when Bill Levy was on, that's what he was saying. He was saying, you know, and since we're talking about it, Joe said that the vaccine is kind of weakening the system for the Delta virus to be more of an issue. You know what I mean? The way he was explaining it. And so that's a, you know, that's a scary thought if that was the case.
It really is. Look, my cousin just she's getting over it, right? And the doctors told her for the next 90 days. Now, 90 days is 3 months, man. 90 days is 3 months. So for the next 90 days, she's susceptible to contract it again. So her doctor said, recommended her to stay away from the public for the next 90 days. So even after you have it once, you can get it again.
Yeah.
So that's why people, you know, going around the people,
mm-hmm.
love those crowds. Man, I'm leery. Only because I don't want to wind up. I might be one of the ones who have a hard time with it. You just never know. And that's the scary part.
Right.
You know who Kevin Slow Jam and James is, right?
Who now?
You do know Kevin Slow Jam and James, right? You know he had it, right?
Uh-huh.
He was in the hospital
right.
for like 3 months. And from what I just heard, So he's still having complications. That he got out of the hospital, but that stuff can ravage your body so badly that you're just never the same afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead, Cotton. You were getting ready to say something.
Oh, I was going to say real quickly, my oldest daughter got it, and then the grandbabies got it, and she hadn't even left her house. One of her friends came over, and then my youngest daughter, she got over it, and then my youngest daughter came to Vegas to visit, and she ended up with it. So they all got it.
Wow.
But for me, even prior to that, for me, I've been tested 3 times, and I've always tested negative, and Michael knows I move around a lot. So because my uncle just had 4 strokes, I'm now headed back to Kansas City, and I went ahead and got the first shot because I want to protect him, you know. And that's the thing that I think some people don't understand is like if you know you're going to be out and about and moving around and around people, it's not necessarily always about you. Sometimes it's about making sure, because my uncle's older, so I want to make sure he's protected. Period, you know. So I think it's and I take sea moss and I take my vitamins, and so I had my I had my doctor check my vitamin level to make sure my vitamin levels was good.
Well, let me quickly because we only have 3 minutes left, and I see there's a caller here and they wave their hand. So let me go ahead and open up their mic real quick. We have 3 minutes left before we have to say goodbye. 678-532, welcome to the TMGS. Your mic should open now. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the
Happy
air.
Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Happy anniversary to everybody. Hello.
This must be Cindy.
Yeah, It is. I just got home, and I'm like, oh, my word, the anniversary. Oh, I've got to call. I got to try to get in.
Oh, okay, thank you so much, Cindy. I appreciate it. All right, let me open up another mic. Go ahead.
I appreciate everyone, but I just want to say happy anniversary. This is a great show. Great people.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Let's see. 559-681.
Hey,
you
Michael. This is Courtney Ann and Mama D. We're wishing you happy anniversary. Okay.
Thank you.
We're going to tell you how glad we are that you were able to go for a year, and we hope that you have another great amount of time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you, and I appreciate the donations you guys gave. I truly appreciate that with all my heart. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. We wanted to make sure you were able to do it. You guys take care and have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Thanks again.
You too.
That's Courtney Ann and also Mama D from Real and Raw. 323-338. I'm down to a minute, but I believe the phone lines will stay open. So for you people who are on the for you people that are on the internet, the line should still stay up, and we're going to be over maybe just another minute or two here on the phone line. So for everybody who's listening on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network, thank you for tuning in, and God bless. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. All right, so in the meantime, I got 323-338. That's Andrea James. How you doing, Andrea, out there in beautiful Southern California?
I am blessed. Happy anniversary, Michael. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited to be a part of your show, to even listening in today. And you've done anything you set your mind to, you've done, and so congratulations on being totally independent on TMGS for the last year, and may you have many years to come in the future. Again, and congratulations to everybody that's part of your team. It's not you, it's everybody that you put together. O'Brien, good to hear him, and everybody else. So again, congratulations, Michael. Look forward to what you're doing in the future.
All right. Thank you, guys. And again, I want to say thanks to all my co-hosts, Janet Davis, Bernie B. Man Jones, Officer Crenshaw, Cotton Campbell, and the co-hosts from the past who couldn't make the show. I want to thank you guys so much. I love you. God bless you. Andrea James, the Real and Raw crew, you know, thank you guys. I want to thank our guests, the one and only Mr. O'Brien, and also Mr. Derek, the super producer, Mr. Derek DOA Allen, for joining us today. It's just been a blessed day. Thank you guys for tuning in. Normally, right now, we would be going on the air at 6 p.m. Eastern, but we did an early show because tonight I'm going to be fortunate to go and check out Mr. Key Sweat in about an hour or two, been about an hour. And so I wanted to make sure we get our anniversary show in and enjoy a good show. So with that being said, thank you so much. I love you all. And again, to all that have donated and helped to support the Michael Gay Show for not just this past year, but for the years and everything with the Cool Critics and TNGS and so on and so forth. All right. With that being said, God bless you guys. Good night and God bless.
Love you, Michael.
Good night.
For you.
Good night.